From the bottom of Lamed Tes on the base, two lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Mishnah said, Ones Shose Ba'atzitzo. The Mishnah had this expression that a rapist, we force him to drink from the cup that he used. In other words, basically we force him to marry the girl that he raped, assuming that the girl is okay with it. So Amrle Rava mi prazakila Ravashi, Michti, Migmar Gamri Mehadade, Lohamilsanami Ligmaru Mehadade. The Mishnah distinguished between the case of Ones and Mefate, where the Mishnah told us that a man rapes a woman, so the din is that he's forced to marry her, assuming that she and the father are okay with it. Whereas when it comes to Mefate, to a seducer, we do not say that. The question is, why not? We draw other comparisons for other areas of halacha between Ones and Mefate. Why is this an area where we distinguish? So the Gemara says, Amar Kram, Mahoriyim Harena Lo Liisha Lo Midaito. Since the pasuk in Mishpatim says that if a man seduces a woman, so he has to pay her the dowry for the marriage, so the Gemara infers on the word Lo, it says Lo Liisha, for him as a wife, it has to be consensual. So in other words, since the man was only a seducer as opposed to a rapist, therefore we don't force him to marry the girl, but he can if he wants to. Okay, then the Mishnah said Ketzad Shoseh Ba'atzitzo. The Mishnah spelled out what does it mean that the man we force him to marry the girl that he raped? So basically, the Mishnah said that even if she's physically unattractive, we force him to marry her. However, if she's forbidden to him on pain of some sort of an isser of arayos, or she's a mamzeros, or whatever, so then he's not allowed to marry her. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Amrisa Lishmeita, Kamei de Rav Zidmi Naharda, Neisei Aseven, and Chalos Aseven. So the question is, why is it, let's say the girl's a mamzeres, for argument's sake, right? So what, and a man raped a mamzeres. So why would we say that he's not allowed to marry her? Why don't we say the mitzvahs that say that a man has to marry that a rapist has to marry the girl that he raped, should be docha the losa say that forbids you from marrying a mamzeres. So the Gemara says no. Amar li hecha amrina neisei asay v'nircha losa asay kigon mila bitzaras de la efshar lekiyume la asay aval hacha I amra de la beina mi isei la asay klal. The Gemara says you cannot invoke the principle of asay docha losa asay here. Why not? Because this mitzvah asay where we force the rapist to marry the girl is a very flimsy type of an asay. Why? Because as we already pointed out before, if the girl doesn't want to marry him, so then the mitzvah asay is out the window. So in other words, the only time we apply the principle of asay dochalos asay, the Gemara gives an example. Let's say mila bit tsaras. So let's say, for example, a person has a tsaras. We know that there's an iser doraisa to cut away the flesh around the area where the tsaras is. Now let's say, for example, a baby has tsaras in the makom mamila. So there you don't have a choice because you have to do the mitzvah bris mila. So the mitzvah bris mila is dochalos asay to not cut away the tsaras. However, here, the entire assay that we force the rapist to marry the girl that he raped is not really a bona fide assay, because if the girl doesn't want it, then the mitzvah goes up in smoke. So because that's the case, the Gemara says we don't apply assay dochalos assay here. Okay.
So Rabbi, yeah. How have we been defining, I know we talked a lot about it, seducer and a rapist. What is the seducer? Implies a little liquor? I mean, what?
No. It's basically just consensual. In other words, he talks her into having relations with him. It's not he's not forcing himself on her, right? It's
so
definitely not rape.
Saying the seducer is basically the woman has said she's agreed.
Yeah. I mean, that's a definition of seduction, right? Yeah, I think so. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Yesoma shenisarstav in his garsha, Rabbi Elazar omer ha'onas chayev v'hamefata pater. Comes the Mishnah and says, let's say you have a girl who's a Yesoma. She's an orphaness, and she's engaged and then divorced. Now, we'll see in the Gemara in a second that these might actually be two different cases. But for now, we're just gonna translate the Mishnah to mean that the girl is a Yesoma. She's an orphaness, and then she got engaged and then divorced. So Rabbi Elazar distinguishes between a rapist versus a seducer. Namely, if she gets raped, so then the halacha is that the rapist is chayev to pay her. Now, obviously, they're going to have to pay her because there's no father in this story because she's a yesoma, she's an orphaness. Whereas if she's seduced, so then the seducer is puttered from paying because since she consented to the relationship and there's no father involved, so then there's not going to be any payment to be made. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar Beshitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amra, the Amar Yeshla Kenasu Kenasa Liatzma. Comes the Gemara and says that this opinion of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, He's reflecting the opinion of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, a little bit earlier, back on Lamed Ches, told us that even in general, forgetting about the case of the Yesoma, the girl without a father, even a normal girl, according to Rabbi Akiva, she gets to keep her own kenas. She gets to keep the penalty if she gets raped. So the Gemara says, Mimai, Midakatani, Yesoma, Rabbi Elazar, Omer Ha'onas, Chayav, V'hamefata, Pater, Yesoma, Pshita, Elo HaKamash Malan, Dinarash, and Esarsev, and Esgarsha, Ki Yesoma, Ma Yesoma, La'atzma, Afnarash, and Esarsev, and Esgarsha, Li'atzma. The Gemara Gemara says, well, how do you know that Rabbi Elazar has to subscribe to this opinion of Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara says, well, the fact that the Mishnah gives an example of a Yesoma is obvious. Who else is getting the money for the rape? In other words, there's no father involved, so the girl's the only option. Why then does the Mishnah feel it necessary to specify that this is the case by a Yesoma? So the Gemara points out that, as we noted earlier, Yesoma is separate from the next two cases. In other words, Yesoma is one case, and then Nara Shenesarsav and Isgarsha, the girl who gets engaged and then divorced, is a separate case. And the Gemara explains that we compare the two cases, just as a Yesoma, by definition, is going to get the money if she gets raped by herself, because there's no father involved. So the same is true if, let's say, I have a regular girl who does have a father, but she gets engaged and then divorced, and then she gets raped. So in that case also, she's entitled to keeping her own money. And this is the proof that Rabbi Elazar holds like his Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, Amar Rab Zera, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Hamnuna Sava, Amar Rav Ada Barav, Amar Rav, Halacha Ki Rabbi Elazar. That's how we paskin. And the Gemara says, Kari Rav Alei De Rabbi Elazar, Tuviana De Chakime. So Rav would say about Rabbi Elazar that he was the happiest of all the sages, because we would often paskin like the different shitos that he would espouse. So he was considered to be the happiest of the Chachamim, because we would always, you know, or we would often asking like his opinions. Billy, have a question?
You know, yeah. we said here it's very obvious, but maybe you could make the case the same way that a mother and a brother can give away a yosom.
You're saying that maybe they should be entitled to the kenas. Well, The only problem with that argument is that the Torah specifically uses the terminology of v'nasan la'avi hana'ara, right? The Torah talks about giving the father the money for the penalty. Now again, as we just pointed out, Rabbi Akiva generally disagrees with that. Rabbi Akiva, even by a normal case, thinks that the girl should be entitled to the kenas, right? Now, if she's seduced, so then in a certain regard, she's mochel, because, right?
I'm just making a point that yeah. I say it's so obvious, but...
Well, I'm saying in the case of the Yesoma, well, you're saying if she had a mother or a brother, then maybe in theory they should have been entitled. Maybe, yeah. I hear you. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Okay, fine. Okay, so then the Mishnah says, Eza hu bosha. So we know that one of the many penalties that has to be paid in the case of rape or seduction is boshes, is embarrassment. So how do you evaluate that exactly? So the Mishnah says, Hakol lefi hamivayesh v'hamispayesh. So it's obviously going to be subjective, depending on the nature or the standing of the person who embarrassed and the one who did the embarrassing, right? In other words, based on their stature and society and whatever the case is, that's going to, you know, to determine the amount that's going to be paid. Pigam, roenos. Then when it comes to pigam, which is essentially like tarnishing the family name, so essentially the way that you evaluate pigam is that you take the difference between what would a girl who's a virgin go for on the open marketplace being sold as a maidservant versus a non-virgin. Again, the Gemara is going to analyze that point in a second. And then finally, the Mishnah says, kenas shave b'chol adam, b'chol sheish lo kitzom in haTorah shave b'chol adam. The kenas is an objective amount. It's 50 shekel, as we've spoken about already. And any time the Torah gives you a fixed amount for something, it's going to be the same across the board, regardless of the nature or the stature of the person. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema chamishim slayim amarachamani mikol mile." So the question basically is, in other words, how do we know that these other types of penalties like boshes and pagam are subjective? Maybe everything is 50. In other words, maybe there's a 50 shekel kenas, there's a 50 shekel for boshes, 50 shekel for pagam. How do we know that boshes and pagam, for example, are subjective and depend on the nature of the person and the family? So the Gemara says, Amar Rab Zera, Yomru Ba Bas Melachim Chamishim, Ba Bas Hajotos Chamishim. So Rab Zera says it doesn't make sense to suggest that boshes and pagam should be an objective amount, because would you say that if a person went ahead and raped or seduced, let's say, a princess, should that be the same as raping or seducing a regular woman? So the presumption is that everything is going to be completely subjective. So the Gemara pushes back. Amar Le Abaye, Ihachi, Gabe Avin Nami, Yomru Evin Nokev Margoli O Shloshim, Evin Osa Maisa Machan Shloshim. There's a din of Parshas Mishpatim that, let's say, my ox gores and kills somebody else's Eved Kanani. The din is you have to pay the master of the Eved Kanani 30 shekel. It's an objective amount. So the Gemara says, well, based on our logic from before, why don't we distinguish depending on the stature or the nature of the Eved, right? Let's say one Eved, his job is to go sift for diamonds. So that Eved should be worth a lot more than 30 shekel. But if I have another Eved who all he does all day is needlework or whatever it is, so maybe he should be worth less than that. Why is there just an objective amount? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Amar Abzira. ilu ba'u aleha shnayim, echad kedarka v'echad shelo kedarka, yomru ba'al shlema chamishim, ba'al peguma chamishim. So Reb Zera tries with another example. He says, imagine you had two men who raped or seduced this girl. So one of them raped her or seduced her vaginally, and the other one did it anally. So the Gemara says, are you going to say that they should pay the same amount? In other words, presumably the one who raped or seduced her, in other words, while she was a virgin and now basically tarnished her, should have to pay more than the one who raped or seduced her when she was, in other words, after she had already lost her virginity. So the Gemara says, you're right. So again, the Gemara throws it back to the case of the Eved, right? If my ox gores and kills someone's Eved Kanani, so let's say one Eved was perfectly healthy, the other guy was much weaker or older. So the Gemara says, what, are you going to say the same thing there too, that we're going to start to distinguish? The Torah gives you an objective amount that you have to pay 30 shekel regardless of the nature of the Eved. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Abaye Amar Kra, Tachas Asherina. Hani Tachas Asherina, Michlal Di'ika Bosha Sufagam. So comes Abaye and says, based on the pasuk Tachas Asherina, since you raped the girl, so the Gemara says, you see from here, from that expression, that there are additional payments to be made, namely, in the form of Boshas and Pagam. Not only do you have to pay this objective penalty for raping her, but you also have to pay the subjective fines that caused, you know, embarrassment and tarnishing the family name. Rava Amar, Amar Kra, V'nasan Ha'esh HaShokhi V'imah, La'vi Hana'ara Chamishim Kasef, Hanas Shchiva Chamishim, Michlal Dika Boshas Ufigam. So Rava has basically the same idea, but from the earlier part of this pasuk, where the pasuk says that you have to pay, that the rapist has to pay the father of the girl 50 shekel. So the Gemara says that the payment for the rape or the seduction, that's 50 shekel, but implying that there are other more subjective types of payments, namely boshas and pagam. So the Gemara asks, ve'ima ledida, how do we know that the father is entitled to these payments? Maybe the payments should go to the girl. So the Gemara says, no. Amar kura, benureha besavia, kol shvach ni'ureha liavia. The Gemara derives from a pasuk in Parshas Matos, where the pasuk says, that says binureha beisavia, that when the girl is a nara, everything belongs to the father. Any sort of financial benefits that the girl gets, let's say in this case because she was raped or seduced, any of those financial benefits go to the father. So the Gemara asks, the Elohad Amarav Huna Amarav Minayin Shemaisa Habasli Avia Shena Emar V'chiim Korish Esbito Liama Ma'ama Ma'aseya Dehali Rabba Avbas Ma'aseya Dehali Avia Lama Li Tepukli Mi Binureha Beisavia. The Gemara says, but if that's true, that the pasuk in Parshas Matos of binureha besavia is the source for the idea, is the source for the idea that everything goes to the father, why then does the Gemara quote a pasuk and mishpat into that effect? The Gemara tells us, how do I know that the father is entitled to the girl's, to any sort of financial benefits that she gets, any sort of wages that she earns? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk and mishpat that says that when a father sells his daughter into slavery, so just as a slave or a maidservant, anything that she earns goes to the master, the same is true that anything that the daughter earns when she's a katana or a nara goes to the father. So the Gemara says, why do I need that pasuk and mishpatim to teach me that? In other words, aren't we just deriving that from this pasuk that we just quoted in Parshas Matos? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela hahiba hafaras nedarim hu dechsev. That pasuk in Matos, if you look at the context of that pasuk in Parshas Matos, it's talking about the halachos of hafaras nedarim, of annulling vows. So that pasuk that says that the father, in other words, that pasuk, all that pasuk means in Parshas Matos is that the father has the right to annul vows. But it doesn't teach me that the father, you know, is going to be entitled to certain financial benefits that the girl gets. For that, we need the other pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim regarding the father selling his daughter into slavery. So the Gemara then asks, so why can't we just extrapolate from that pasuk in Parshas Matos? In other words, the same way that the father has the right to annul vows, we should be able to derive from there that he's also entitled to certain financial benefits. Why do I need a second pasuk for that? So the Gemara says, no, mamona me yisru lo yalfina, because they're two separate areas of halacha. One is dine mamonos, one is the fact that the father is entitled to money, and the other is isra vehetar, the other is regarding nedarim. So the Gemara says, okay, v'chitema neilaf mikenasa. Why don't we then derive the fact that the father is entitled to these types of financial benefits from the fact that the father is entitled to the kenas? We already know that the father is entitled to the kenas that the girl gets raped or seduced. So why don't we say, well, the same way the father's entitled to that kanas, he should also be entitled to just, you know, regular financial benefits that the girl gets, even if they're not technically considered a kanas. So the Gemara says, no, mamona mi kanasa lo yalfina. We cannot derive or extrapolate cases of mamon, in other words, regular monetary benefits, from cases of kanas, because kanas, as we've already pointed out many times in this mesechta, is considered a chiddush. A kanas is something above and beyond what the person really deserves. So the fact that the father gets a kanas is not necessarily a proof that he should also be entitled to regular financial financial benefit. So the Gemara then ends off and says, Ela mistabra di aviahave, di boy masrala lemanuel muke shchid. At the end of the day, the Gemara says you really don't even need a pasuk for this idea, because the fact is that the father essentially has full control over his daughter until she's 12, to the point that the father can forcibly marry off his daughter to anyone that he wants, including someone who's a disgusting person, who's physically unattractive. So the fact that the father has that right should lead us to believe that he's also entitled to certain financial benefits. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that, because the fact is the father essentially has full control over his daughter for all intents and purposes. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Pagam roen osakilu hishifchan mkeres, heichi shayminon la. How do we assess, how do we evaluate this pagam, this amount for the fact that the family's name was tarnished after the girl was raped or seduced? So Amar Rav Huda Shmuel, We basically take the difference between what a person would pay for a virgin maidservant versus a non-virgin maidservant to serve him. So the Gemara asks, who cares if she's a virgin if all she's doing is being your maidservant? If all she's doing is serving you, why does her virginity matter? So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, the ramification as to whether she's a virgin or not is in terms of marrying her off to your eved. So the Gemara says again, la'avdo may nafka lemina, be'eved sheyesh lo l'rabo koras ruachim. And let's say the person has an eved who does great work for him, and he wants to reward him by marrying off a virgin to him. So the master would pay a top dollar, would pay more for to find a maidservant who's a virgin to marry off to his eved. So the Gemara says whatever that difference is between what the master would pay for a virgin maidservant versus a non-virgin maidservant to marry off to his eved, that's what you pay for tarnishing the family name. Okay, says the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's an inverse relationship between what's called mecher, which is the fact that the father in certain cases has the right to sell his daughter into slavery, and kenas, which is cases where the father is entitled to collecting that penalty if the girl is raped or seduced. So basically, anytime that a father can sell his daughter to slavery, he's not entitled to kenas, and vice versa. So, and the Mishnah explains, ketana yesh la mecher, so basically, when the girl's a katana, which is under the age of 12, the father can sell her into slavery, but if she's raped or seduced, the father does not collect any sort of kanas. If she's a nara, so the father can no longer sell her, but he is entitled to getting the kanas for rape or seduction. Once she's a bogeres, once she's 12 and a half, she's considered to be a full-fledged adult, so then the father no longer has the right to sell her, nor does he collect the value or the kanas for the rape or seduction. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, zo div Rabbi Meir, aval chachamim umrim yesh la kenas b'mkom mecher. Desanya ketana mibasu mecher v'achetovi shtei sairus yesh la mecher v'ein la kenas mishetovi shtei sairus acheti bager yesh la kenas v'ein la mecher. Diver Rabbi Meir, shahayu Rabbi Meir omer kol makom sheyesh mecher ein kenas v'chol makom sheyesh kenas ein mecher. V'chachamim umrim ketana mibasgimol shana biyomechad v'acheti bager yesh la kenas kenas ein mecher lo ema af kenas b'mkom mecher. Basically, the Gemara points out that this opinion in the Mishnah that there's an inverse relationship between selling your daughter into slavery, or what the Mishnah calls mecher, and the kenas, the ability for the father to collect the penalty for rape or seduction, that inverse relationship is only true according to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim dispute that fact, and the Chachamim think that you can have scenarios where there's kenas and mecher that both apply at the same time. So, for example, the Chachamim hold that, let's say you have a girl who's anywhere between the age of 3 until she becomes a bogeres, and she gets raped or seduced, so the father is entitled to collecting a kanas, and also he's allowed to sell her into slavery according to the Chacham. Okay, so the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Chisda, my time at the Remeir. Why does Remeir think that there's this inverse relationship that, mecher and kanas can never intertwine? That, in other words, that only one can apply and not the other. Why does Remeir believe that? Amar Krav, Elo Sihiyah Li'isha, B'mahava Atzma HaKasim Medaber. So Remeir derives from this pasuk that we keep on referencing, the Lo Sihiyah, the fact that the rapist is forced to marry the girl. So you see that this idea of the kenas is only going to apply to a girl who has the ability to marry herself off. Now, the only way that that's going to happen is if the girl is already over bas mitzvah, if she has das and halacha. If a girl is only 10 years old and she's halachically considered a ketana, so then she has no right to marry herself off. So Remeir thinks that because that's true, so the father can also sell her into slavery. So how do the Rabbanan respond to that? The Rabbanan, Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, Nara Afilu Ketana B'mashma. So Reish Lakish believes that when the Torah uses the terminology of Na'ara, so Na'ara implies even a Ketana. Now, if you look throughout Parshas Ki Seitzeh, as we'll see in a second, so oftentimes, whenever the Torah uses the word Na'ara in Parshas Ki Seitzeh, it's often written without a hey. It's written Nun Ayin Reish, but we read it as if it says Na'ara. So in other words, Reish Lakish is saying that since the Torah writes the word Na'ara Chaser without that hey, so that word implies even a Ketana. So fine. The Gemara says, Shamar of Papa Bereid Rav Chanan Mibe Kluches, Azal Amar Kamei Rashi. Rashi Amar Le Atun Ahamas Nisula Anan Ahamas Ninanla Amar Reish Lakish Hamotzi Shem Ra Laktana Potter Shene Emar V'Nasenu La Avi Hanara Nara Mali Dibur Hakasa. So comes the Gemara and points out that in Eretz Yisrael they had a different source for the same idea. In other words, everyone's within the worldview of the Chachamim agree that this idea of Reish Lakish, that when the Torah writes the word Nara without a hey, that it even includes a Ktana. So the Gemara quotes a second source for this idea, which is regarding the halacha called Motzi Shemra, which we've also spoken about in the past. Motzi Shemra is the idea that after a couple gets married, so the husband comes and claims that his wife was really not a virgin. So if it turns out that he's telling the truth, so then his wife was actually Mizana after Iris, and she had an affair after engagement, then she gets put to death. If he's lying, then he gets Malkus. He has to pay 100 shekel. That's the penalty that he has to pay. So the Gemara says that, let's say the husband was Motzi Shemra. He slandered his wife while she was only a Ktana. Let's say she was only 10 years old. So then he's going to be Putter. How do we know that? Because in Parshas Kisetze, the Torah says that you give to the father of the Na'ara. That's the one place in Parshas Kisetze where the word Na'ara is actually written with a hey. So because that's the one time it's written with the hey, the implication is that it's specifically a girl who's 12 years old, not a Ktana. Obviously, the implication is that any other time that a Na'ara is without a hay, it even comes to include a Ktana. Okay, so the Gemara then asks, Maskifla Ravada Barava, Taima de Chasa Rachamana Na'ara, Halava Chihava Mina Filu Ktana, Vehochsiv, the MMS Hayahada Varha Zelo Nimtsu, Visuluma Na'ara, Vehotsiwas Hana Ara, Pesach Bisavia, Uskalua, Uktana, Lavasonshini. So the Gemara pushes back on this idea. The Gemara says, it sounds like the only reason why we're limiting this halacha, Moti Shemra, to a Na'ara and saying that if the husband goes and tries to slander his wife who's a Ktana, that the halacha doesn't apply, that the whole concept of the Motzi Shemra doesn't apply, that's only because this is the one time where the Torah writes Na'ara with a hey. The problem is that if you look in the context of this halacha, let's say it turns out the husband was telling the truth and his 10-year-old wife was actually Mizana, she actually had an affair after Erison. So the Torah says very clearly that the punishment for that girl is that she gets skila, right, because she was a Na'ara HaMe'orasa, she was an engaged girl who had an affair. The problem is that a 10-year-old girl is not Bas Onshin, she's not Bas Mitzvah yet, and anyone who's under Bar Bas Mitzvah, as we of course know, is not Chayiv in anything, not Chayiv in Mitzvah or Averos. So how on earth could you argue that a 10-year-old girl who is Mizana after Erisin is going to get Skila? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elakan, the Gemara says, Elakan Na'ara, Hakomakom Shinemar Na'ara, if you look Tana B'mashma, this is the one time that the Torah says Na'ara with the hey. So this is the one place where it means a girl who's 12 years old. The implication, obviously, is that every other time the Torah writes Na'ara without a hey, so that means even a Ktana, and that's how we know that if you're Motzi Shemra on a Ktana, so then the whole concept of Motzi Shemra is not going to apply in that case.